Blog Talk Radio.
If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I don't know where I would be. Fellowship, let's go.
My testimony is real.
About God's grace that we're here again. Amen. I want to thank everyone for tuning in on this blessed Wednesday, August 26, 2020. It's a blessed day. Think about God's grace. God's grace is sufficient for thee. He's more than enough. Enjoy the music, and I will be right back. Lord, thank you for being so good to me. I just want to get everybody excited today about the goodness of God, because guess what? You're still here in the land of the living. You still have an unction, hallelujah, to function. Glory to God. We are excited and delighted to be the host for the hour. Amen. Wednesday with the Word of God, Wednesday in the presence of the Holy Spirit, Wednesday expecting a word from on high. Amen, amen, and I say again, amen. Allow your day to birth out what God's purpose is for you. Amen. Every single day, God has something planned for your life. Well, this is Pastor Prophetess Teresa Dockson. Again, every Wednesday we are here. If not, we are here the next Wednesday, but we are faithful to what God is doing in our lives. Amen. I want to give honor to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I want to honor my husband today, Elder QT Docks. I just want to thank God for the ministry and my family, my friends, and even my enemies. Amen. Because I'm telling you, you get to a place in your life where you realize what's really important. And that is the end of a thing. Amen. The end of this life. The end. Not so much of what's going on right now, but when it's all over. Hallelujah. When it's all over. When it's all over, you're going to put on your robe and tell the story how you made it over. Amen. Don't you want to put on your robe? Or have you even thought about putting on that robe? Put on your robe and tell the story how you made it over. So you got to make it over. Amen. Amen. Father, we just thank you right now for this time with you. We yield our way, God, to your way, Father. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus that you would saturate our minds. Lord God, cause everything that's not like you to be put at naught, God. Father, every single thing, God, that we stand for, let it represent you and your kingdom, God. Father, so I ask you right now in Jesus' name that you would open up the portals of heaven and that you would cause the listeners, Lord God, not only to hear your way, Lord God, but to know your way, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, because we understand that you work, God. We understand that your way work, Lord God. We understand that your will work, Lord God. So, Father, I ask you in Jesus' name to come on in the room, Father. Come on into our hearts, God. Cause everything that's not like you to be under your authority and under subjection to your will. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen. I'm telling you, sometimes I just get excited. I just get excited about ministry, excited about people, excited about others just finding their way, excited about change. I just get excited because I understand, hallelujah, that God can gracefully break us. Have you been gracefully broken? And that's what the Lord is saying to me today to tell his people. I want to gracefully break you. I want to break you from your will. I want to break you from your way, your thoughts, your actions, your deeds. I want to break you from how you would do it. I want to break you so that you would embrace my will, says the Father. Hallelujah. So that you can walk in his glory and that we would all have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. How many want the mind of Christ? When you think about having the mind of Christ, knowing the thoughts before a person think it, knowing which role they should take, knowing, just having the mind of Christ, I want you to keep that in your spirit and just say, Lord, give me the mind of Christ. I'm going to give you a moment to ask him. Ask him to give you his mind so that you would not only see his glory, but you would know the mind of Christ. I'm going to be talking today about being gracefully broken. You know, God will break us. And when he break us to position us. Amen. He break us to promote us. And he'll break us to put us in the right place, to put us in the right mindset. And when he break us, he won't hurt you. But when he breaks you, he don't even want to destroy you, because he does it by grace. And I ask this question to you today. Have you ever been broken? Have you ever been gracefully broken? Can nobody do it like he does it? I'm telling you, when God does a thing, he does it well. He perfects everything that he does. And why would he break us when we think we're okay? You know, why would God choose to break something that's not broken? I hear you. Sometimes we think that we don't need to be broken. Sometimes we think that we're okay. Well, we talked about on Sunday, hallelujah, glory to God, when I taught about examining oneself. Why? So we can be our best for someone else. Amen? So we can be our best for someone else. But I want you to get your Bibles out. We're going to talk about gracefully broken. Being gracefully broken. From just being broken or gracefully broken. Amen, amen, glory to God. And if you have your Bibles, I mean, have you ever thought about the alabaster jar in Luke 7? In Luke 7. And I pray that you have your Bibles, because it's very imperative as we listen to the word and we read the word, somehow we become the word. Amen. And those words will come out of you in a split second. So while you're flipping through the scriptures, I want you to turn to Luke 7, and we're going to turn to verse 36. Amen. Amen. And while you're doing that, I'm going to play a little short segment of a song. And I want you to hear the words. Hear the words of being gracefully broken.
Woo! Just lift your worship right there in this moment.
begin to tell the Lord, here I am, gracefully broken. Here I am, gracefully broken. So when things happen, we either learn from them or we repeat our mistakes. But when we learn from our mistakes, we become gracefully broken. So I want you to tell the Lord, here I am, God. We can start from this day, and we can become gracefully broken to move in the things of the kingdom. Amen. Gracefully broken. Tell him you surrender. I surrender, God. Have your way, God. I surrender. I tried my way. Now I'm going to try your way. I surrender. Tell him you surrender. Throw up the white flag. Tell him you surrender.
Your power at work in me. I'm broken gracefully. I'm strong when I am weak. I will be free. Your power at work in me. I'm broken gracefully. I'm strong when I am weak.
When you begin to surrender to God, get your praise on, throw up the white flag and tell him I surrender, you then is open to receive, hallelujah, the mind of Christ. When we surrender our ways, when we surrender and forgive those that have despitefully used us, when we forgive those that have spoke ill of us, when we forgive those that we know hate on us, you're being gracefully broken. So, Father, I say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that we have all been broken before you, Lord. Thank you, God, for handling us with grace, God. Thank you, Father, that all I have is in your hands, Father. I thank you for multiplying, God. I thank you, Father, that all that I am, God, I find it in you, Father. I thank you, Father, that on the altar, again, God, I ask you in the name of Jesus to set fire to your people, to set me on fire, God. Here I am. God, your loving arms, wrap each person in your loving arms, God, so that we'll be able to stand, God, when the enemy comes. God, that we'll be able not only to stand, God, but we will be able to resist the devil, and he will flee. So, God, I thank you for your mighty love. Thank you, Father, that we stand strong all the way to the end, that you have not forsaken us, and we will be with you, God. So I decree and declare right now that you're pouring out your love upon our lives in Jesus' name. And we thank you that we have been, hallelujah, gracefully broken. Amen, amen. You know, sometimes we think it was a bad thing that they forsaked us. We think it was a bad thing that they lied on us. Amen. Sometimes we think and hate that this happened and that happened. God was breaking us. God was making us for such a time as this. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. He was putting some things into your alabaster box. Think about that alabaster box. I'm going to begin to read Luke 7. Hallelujah. And I want you to get the story. And we're going to start at verse 36. Glory to God. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. A Pharisee invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house. See, now that's where we mess up. If they're not right, we don't want to be bothered, right? But Jesus went to the Pharisee's house, and he, not only did he go, guess what he did? He reclined at the table. He got comfortable. He got comfortable. Hallelujah. And when a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town, she learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. She brought an alabaster box of perfume. And as she stood before him at his feet, crying, she began to wet his feet with her hair. Then she wiped them with her tears. She wet his feet with her tears. I'm reading two versions. And then she wiped them with her hair. And she went even deeper. She kissed them. She kissed them. And then she poured perfume on them, on Jesus' feet. And when the Pharisees, who had invited him, saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she's a sinner. You know, people put labels on you, amen? And Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, he answered him. He said, I could imagine. He said, Simon, I tell you, I have something to tell you. And then Simon humbly said, tell me, teacher. And he said, I want you to listen to the story. Two men owed money to a certain money changer. One owed him 500 denarios and the other 50. Neither of them had money to pay him back, so he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? So Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, listen what he did. He turned toward the woman, but he said to Simon, do you see this woman? Now he's facing the woman, but he's talking to Simon. And he asked him, do you see this woman? I came into your house. She did not give me any water for my feet. No, you did not give me any water for my feet. But she wet my feet with her tears. And she wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss. But the woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head. She has poured her perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little, love little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. Don't you want Jesus to say that to you? Your sins are forgiven. Well, that's what he said when he died on the cross. And he didn't stay dead. And death had no power. Grave could not get the victory. He said, your sins are forgiven. So the other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this? Who even forgives sins? Can't you hear him murmuring?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Now remember, we are in Simon's house. I want you to hear what I'm saying. We are in Simon, the Pharisee's house. Listen, we are in Simon, the Pharisee's house in Galilee. I don't think you understand yet. You see, we are in the house of a wealthy man living. We're not in the wasteland of the Middle East, but we are in, I'll just say, the greenhouse where the mountains and the land of Galilee, a beautiful place, populated with cities who name me beautiful and delightful. You know, a mountain owned by the Pharisees in Galilee. So to be a Pharisee in Galilee, it took some doing. You see, the Galatians were well known for their stubborn resistance to the law as it was interpreted by the Pharisees. But it's not that they didn't accept the Messianic law to the Pharisees' interpretation of the law. So to be a Pharisee in Galilee, okay, let me give you an example. Well, it was a little bit like being a Republican in Mobile, Alabama. Let me give you a little better example. It's like being a painting, the Leonardo da Vinci painting. Per excellent. See, now there go Jesus. He chilling. I want you to get the picture. He reclining at a wealthy man's table. And then he was sitting among teachers of the law. You know how you get in places and you're surrounded with a bunch of, I don't want to say traps, but you got to be careful what you do, what you say, and even how you think. But Jesus was sitting there, and he was comfortable because the Bible says that he was reclining. They thought they was setting him up, but they was well-educated. They was law teachers of the law, religious leaders, and I'm going to say perhaps a few of them was well-educated, and they were curiosity seekers. You know, you just sometimes you just want to know. We all been there. Just want to know. They was dressed in their Pharisees' finest. Think about your closet. The best outfit that you have, you got it on. The best coat that you have. And you got your black American Express card. Okay? There's no limit with that card, right? You got it going on. Jesus was reclining at the Pharisees' table. What kind of picture is that? Can you see it? So you are dressed up, and here go Jesus. He all cool, calm, and collective, kind of chilled, sitting back. When he got the whole world in his hand, but he come to entertain us. And I could imagine, when you say they were dressed in their finest, that they were surrounded by elegance and fine dinnerware and, you know, the white tablecloths and the white napkins, and it was folded like, it looked like a, you know how they take the napkins and they make it sit up and they make the different kind of shapes and silhouettes of things. I could imagine even the tablecloth was all perfected. probably had them sitting up like the Levi priests. You know how they marched toward the temple? Okay. The two forks were shining, the spoons were shining, the butter knife had a sharp edge, and don't you see the table setting? And the water was like you could see straight through it. You know how a really nice, clean glass of water. And I'm going to go a little bit deeper. Some green tea, the finest green tea. And I could imagine they probably had soda and wine and probably had a little tiny coffee cup and teacup, but at least two plates more than they ever needed. They had more than they ever needed. But when I look around, I don't see anything on the floor. Even the floor is clean. It was so much together that it was a well-respected area. And only the well-respected people were going to indulge in this house. You're not going to be all on my couch. You're not going to be moving my chairs around. You know, your parents taught you when you go in somebody's house, come in, sit down. Don't be all through the house and don't be messing with nothing and don't ask for nothing, you know, all that. Best behavior. That's what they was doing. And here she comes. I want to give her a name. But this is just the name I gave her. It's not in the Bible. But I'm going to say, here come, Cornetta. Here come Cornetta. We're going to give her a name. But she come in, and the room grow real still because Cornetta in the house. It grew so still that the room became dark because they looking around and they see something that they didn't plan to happen. And it's obvious, not just to her, but to everybody in the room, that she doesn't fit. She doesn't belong there. Can you imagine what she had on? I mean, when I use my sanctified imagination, I could imagine she probably had on some cut-off jeans, a dirty, dingy T-shirt, probably had sandals that needed to, you know, she maybe one of the flaps was broken, maybe her shoes was a little dirty in her feet, you know, from wearing sandals. You need to wash those feet daily, your feet daily. But she came in. But she was careful, and she was cautious. And then she had the audacity to move one step toward Jesus. Really? Then she made another step toward Jesus. But if she expected someone to point a finger at her and scream, this is no place for your kind. Get out. Or perhaps take her forcefully by the hand and see her roughly out the door, or throw her out the door, or call for the guards or call for security. Or you know what? It go real deep when the bouncers come out. But no one did that. Here go Jesus, the Son of the Living God. She had to muster enough courage to go toward him because she probably was thinking, I know they're going to throw me out. But nobody did anything. But, of course, they was thinking about it. But her step quickened as she made her press, as she began to press her way, and there was no resistance in the room. But the shame in her eyes was so heavy from her past pain, from her hurt, from the things she encountered. The shame was so heavy on her that her eyes were fixed to the floor. And her long hair was hid in a bonnet. Her eyes were so flushed. Her face was filled with humiliation. And perhaps humility. But one of our personal concepts of humiliation is merely a speck of anguish. She had turmoil that was happening in her heart from her pain of her life. She was humiliated from her past. Only once, maybe twice, did her eyes leave the floor and dart toward upward, looking for the teacher from Galilee. And I could imagine that when she came into that room, that she nearly knocked over the chairs, maybe one or two, as she worked her way around the room. Jesus. Hallelujah. Where he was just reclining. And even though this storm was going on in her mind and in her heart and in her days and in her life, it reminded me when Jesus went at the bottom of the boat and went to sleep. When the storm was raging and the wind was blowing and the ship was rocking and Jesus was so cool, he just went in the bottom of the ship and went to sleep. Enough that they had to come get him, and all he did was come up and say, "Peace be still." But it reminded me of that storm, the storm that this woman was going through. Don't be confused with this unnamed woman. So many people say it was Mary. But Luke, being such a tedious writer, detailed writer, a grand historian, he didn't call her Mary. It's unlikely that he would have kept her name from us. But if it was extremely a visible character of Mary Magdalene, whom it does not name in any other separate events, so she could have been any of these names. Rakita, Tamita. You know the names, you know the story. But the fact that she was there, the fact that she was there on purpose, the fact that she was there for a purpose, the fact that everything that happened to her was for a purpose. Everything that you didn't understand, why me? Everything that you didn't want to understand, how could they do that to me? How could they think that way about me? Why is it always me? The fact that she was there, it was to be gracefully broken. So first points out, first I mentioned this event happened in Galilee, and it was in the height of Jesus' earthly ministry. And here he is sitting with the Pharisees, sitting with the, I like to say, the Sadducees, those that are the higher echelon, but those that have arrived, those that maybe have 2-3 PhD, Reverend Doctor, those that have completely arrived. Jesus chilling with them. And it was right after Mary had anointed Jesus in Bethany, 6 days before the Passover. So this dinner was given in honor of Simon, the host. He had succeeded in booking Jesus. He had Jesus, the celebrity, for the dinner party at his home. John 12 clearly indicate that the dinner was to honor Jesus, and it was hosted by, the Bible says, his friends, those that you trust, those that you expect to have your back, those that you expect to speak well, those that you expect to protect your name or to protect your character. But this woman was not Mary. The companion, the close companion of Jesus, she did not come to honor Jesus. The woman knew Jesus only by reputation, at best. And although the miracle she had witnessed him do in the lives of others, she come to Jesus not as one who know him intimately, but she came as a stranger who want to know him. And in verse 38, as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping. She was crying. She began to wet her hair, his feet, with her tears, and she wiped them with her hair. She kissed them, and she poured perfume on it. I want you to hear the words in this verse. She stood behind him, whereas Simon sat at the head of the table, keeping Jesus closest to the door. She stood behind him. In the place of, subordinate, in the place of reverence, in the place of respect, standing behind him, crying, tears pouring out of eyes, gasping her breath as she cried, as she sobbed, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Can you imagine how you can wet someone's tears? So much that she had to wipe them with her hair. She was broken. And as the tears flowed unconditionally from her eyes, they began to wet his feet like never before. And I can imagine she was embarrassed. I could imagine that she began looking for a towel. I could imagine that she was looking for a napkin, but the napkin was so beautiful, she didn't want to disturb pretty. So because she didn't want to disturb pretty, she used her hair. I could imagine that Waquita, that she took a locks of her hair, you know, that lock, that twist, that thick braid, that dread, and she began to dry his feet. They was mortified that she had allowed her tears to fall on the master's feet. They was mortified that she actually touched Jesus. But the more she wiped with her hair, the more tears fell. She was desperate. She began to lap up kisses as she is overcame by a rainbow of emotion. Hallelujah. Broken. She had fear. She had frustration. Put yourself in this woman's shoes. She was shamed. She felt guilt. And yes, even love. Love enough to kiss the feet of the forever forgiving master, that he would forgive her sins. Listen. Suddenly, she produced her alabaster jar. Not the expensive one, because the Egyptians, they marbled a beautiful alabaster box that they used. You know, a simple piece of reddish and yellow pottery made in lime. I could imagine that they had the best of the best. Hers was not expensive, the alabaster. But the perfume that was in there, it was her perfume. It was splendor. The fragrance. You know, you've got the perfume that fills the entire room. And then you got the perfume that's, you put it on, you need to keep putting it on all day. But because she was honoring Jesus with what she had, in return, he filled the space between her heart being broken and he began to mend her broken heart. Her cheap and inexpensive pottery and her not so expensive cologne became the oil in her alabaster jar. Because everything that she had been through, all of the pain of the past, was in that oil, was in that perfume. Simon couldn't understand it. All Simon saw was a sinner. Jesus saw pertinence. He saw how important she was. He saw a heart that was gracefully broken. It's simple. A soul that hate the sin he or she once had began to love a soul that's whole. Will you be made whole today? Will you allow the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to gracefully break you? Simon thought he was quite a long ways on in the kingdom of God. But he had arrived. Have you arrived? Are you Simon? Jesus saw this woman full of every possibility for recovery. She reached out. She took her hair. She quivered her hands of faith, and she placed it on his large, steady hand, and she laid them at his feet. Simon didn't know the cost of the oil. That oil represented her whole entire life. He had no way of knowing that at that moment she was much nearer to the arms of God than he could ever dream of. She was being poor in spirit. She became rich. God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the point of his teaching, you're not going to go on, but due to the time's sake, I'm not going to hold you longer. But Simon simply was proud in his spirit. And he had a reputation to uphold, distinguished. And he was recorded in our history as a man who sat at meat with the Son of God. And he thought himself in a position to patronize Jesus. But when the Pharisees who he had invited saw this, they said to him, if this man was a prophet, he wouldn't let that lady touch her. But listen, when you touch the heart of God, come. Gracefully broken. Gracefully broken. It's not about things. Because all of these things will fade away. It's not about this stuff. It's about the love walk. Who do you help? Who do you stand behind? Whose feet are you washing? I mean, of you just got your hair done, okay? You paid $300 for the hairdo, and you're going to dry his feet? You're going to dry her feet? Really? Gracefully broken. Hallelujah. Gracefully broken. That you walk and you soar in humility. Hallelujah. So forget about the past. Forget about what has been. And begin to focus on what's ahead. And I started off by saying, kingdom. Seek the kingdom. Seek the kingdom. And all of these other things shall be added. I had many people in my life to just bless my husband and I. And they really didn't know how much of a blessing that they really were or really are. And as we are becoming gracefully broken for the master's use, that's why he breaks us. He breaks us so that we may be called the children of God. So I ask God to heal our land on the inside, that our heart is so purified, better than drinking purified water, and that we're so oxidated that we can not only think and sleep and eat right and talk right and live right and love right and forgive right, that when he called our name, it'll be like Jesus when he said to the woman, "Thou faith, hallelujah, has made you whole." When have you pressed your way in and you know that they were going to talk about you? When have you pushed your way and you did something unorthodox? God wants you to know that every time you let him use you, he have not forgotten about you. That he have not forgotten. Every seed that you have sown, God said, you're reaping the harvest. Spiritual harvest is coming your way. When the enemy tried to take you out, it's like you did some things, you done said some things, you done sold some things, and the enemy couldn't get you. Why? Because God is on your side. I want to encourage you today to know that you're somebody in the kingdom of God, that God want to use you. It don't matter what the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Simons and the educators and all of them say. God is on your side. So I want to encourage you today to look up and live. Don't let depression, don't let situations, don't let sadness, don't let lack, don't let any of that keep you off track. Do your dance. That reminds me of a song. Do your dance. I don't know how it goes. Do your dance. Praise your God. Forgive those that have despitefully used you. Bless them. Do good to them. Speak well of them. Because you're gracefully broken. Amen. I just say, get excited about each day, because you never know when it may be your last. And again, every single week that we come on the line, I can honestly tell you, for the last 8 weeks at least, I have lost a family member almost every week. Lost a cousin yesterday. Went to sleep and didn't wake up. But before God took her home, she had lunch with her mom, came over, took her to eat, and said to her mom, "Forgive me if I ever hurt you." It's almost like she knew. And that next morning, she didn't wake up. No foul play. God just took her home. And I can go on and on. So we don't have time to play games, fall in nobody trap, walk in discord, walk in unforgiveness, be messy. We got to tighten up. You got a song, Tighten Up, Baby. Tighten up, baby. Tighten up. Amen. Glory to God. Again, I'm excited and delighted. No matter what, I still look forward to the Lord calling me home so that I can be with him. I'm looking forward to it. Amen. Amen. I have to say, if you like what we're doing, I want to encourage you to sow. Sow into Wednesday with the Word. Thursday, Thirst for Truth. Elder and I, we're here. And then we have the Spirit of a Soldier coming on Tuesdays. And we have Inspiring, Hallelujah, is another broadcast. And then we have Sowing and Reaping, another broadcast. We can give you our whole lineup. Ministers are manifesting. They're accepting their call through this ministry. And I'm grateful that God has chosen us to do this work because we're not worthy. Amen. But the Bible says if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Praise the Lord. You can go to www.giveify.com. Go to our app, Kingdom Builders, Kingdom Daughters, and you can sow or just type in my name, Pastor Teresa Docks, and we'll be right there where you're able to sow into our mini programs. Amen. Glory to God. If you don't know God and you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sin, all you got to do is accept him in your heart. Believe in your heart that I believe Jesus died, and I believe that he rose again, and I believe he's the Son of God, and I accept you as my Lord and Savior. It's just that simple. You said that, welcome into the kingdom of God. Amen. You can give us a call at area code 313-583-9739 is our ministry phone number. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/KDDI, and you can listen to all our mini broadcasts. You can listen in archives. Again, we are excited and delighted that you have spent this hour with us. And just know, if you need a Bible, give us a shout out. We'll make sure you get one. And our mini programs, you can look at, give us an email, send us a shout at KingdomBuildersPlaza@gmail.com if you want more of our itinerary. And again, stay safe, stay protected, wear your mask. Use wisdom, that's what I'll say. Because God wants to use you as you are being gracefully broken. Join us tomorrow. QT Docs will be on, and then we have Evangelist Hardaway will be with us, Monica Hardaway, and she will be with us at 6. Elder will be with us at 5. Join in. You're going to be another treat. There's nobody like Jesus. So just remember, and I'm going to close with this saying, tell the Lord, my heart says yes, as I'm gracefully broken. God bless everyone. Have a terrific, blessing rest of your day. Laugh. Just let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Amen. God bless everyone.
Israel, Israel, I dwell within your walls. Israel, Israel, I will return to thee. Israel, Israel, I